Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have a special treat for you today. This is so tremendous. I'm going to have my good friend, Larry Pinson, on today. He wrote a book about chats, the pay system. And you need to stay tuned and listen to that. But before we get to that, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
that. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of our children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last.
Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. I have to tell everybody today that our good friend, our good lawyer friend, our person, Lynn Stewart, has been released from prison. This is the most incredible thing that has happened. And I tell you, it has really made my day. When I got the call on Tuesday night, on Tuesday, I was too happy. I tell you, it made my day. It made my year. It shows what we can do when we work together. And we need people out there to take a stand. We need you to stand up and start fighting. My TI is out there. I hope you learn something from this. If you work together and do things that's right, you can do anything. You can make the government stand on their head and do the right thing. But on that note, I got to bring in my good friend from Ann Arbor, Michigan. My good friend,
okay, I'm here, and I'm going to read something about someone who, well, he should be somebody that every American knows about. Edward Bernays. He is the father of marketing, basically, in this country. He made the corporation what it is. And let's see here. He's the man ultimately responsible for why Detroit blacks are presently being degraded within the majority-controlled media. He reveals that it is a mortifying psychosocial method of control, which is being, someone else reveals this, sorry, which is being used in urban centers all across America and will gain even greater popularity because it's now shown to have worked in the city of Detroit. Bear in mind, Dr. Bernays' uncle was psychiatrist Sigmund Freud. Bernays was a mass manipulation expert hired as an advisor to several U.S. corporations and presidents. I think this was back in the 30s, by the way, when he started. It was he that impressed upon the majority ruling elite of how they could control the minds of the masses and targeted populations by using mass media propaganda. Dr. Bernays, and I'll spell that for anybody that needs that. It's B as in boy, E-R, N as in Nelly, A-Y, S as in Sam. Dr. Bernays coined the terms group mind and engineering consent. That's group mind and engineering consent. Both are important concepts in practical mind manipulation. Bernays is quoted as saying that, quote, "The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country." End of quote. What we have just experienced in Detroit with the planned help of the influx of massive, unprecedented corporate money is a direct outgrowth of Dr. Bernays' work. To quote Dr. Bernays, again, quote, "If we understand the mechanism and motives of a group mind," which this writer says is longtime Detroit residents, "it is now possible to control and regiment the masses," and that would be longtime Detroit residents also, according to our will without them knowing it, end of quote. Sigmund Freud taught Bernays how to use the human psyche to make people feel they needed whatever product was being advertised. He also invented the public relations profession in the 20s, and was the first person to take Freud's ideas to manipulate the masses. In the process, he invented the modern technique for mass consumer persuasion. Bernays showed American corporations how they could make people want things they didn't need by systematically linking their products to their unconscious desires. Quote, "You've come a long way, baby," unquote. His most notorious feat was breaking the taboo on women smoking by persuading them that cigarettes were a symbol of independence and freedom. Bernays was convinced that this mass method of manipulation was more than just a way of selling consumer goods. For him, it was a new political tool which could allow one to control the masses by satisfying the inner irrational desires that his uncle, Sigmund Freud, had identified. People could be made happy, docile, angry, self-hating, or even confused. One of Bernays' biggest fans was Adolf Hitler's propaganda chief, Joseph Goebbels. A fact about which...
Tell me, get on it. Tell me, I'm waiting on it.
Joseph, hello?
I'm here. Go right ahead.
Okay. A fact about which Bernays bragged proudly. A common pattern used repeatedly by Goebbels, I guess you pronounce it, was to turn a harmless entity into a fearsome enemy through lies and manufactured news items, then use that threat to justify attacking the entity. To do that, Bernays coined the terms group mind and engineering consent, as we just learned. The present despairing state of Detroit's majority community is neither a baffling phenomenon nor the results of some innate deficient capacity among its residents, but rather the result of the elite's innate proclivity to reinvent devious methods of suppressing the city's majority population, thus now using these same psychological programs against the city's majority population as a means of maintaining dominance and control. Using the travails of Kwame Kilpatrick against the city's entire African-American population, the local media constantly, but racially, put forth devaluing depictions and distorted portrayal of Detroit's black population, amplified the negative to the point that it distorted reality. This, my friends, was really a carefully crafted, deliberately designed, debasing management perception program, a media-driven mass manipulation wherein which the city's black population was made to see themselves through mortifyingly lens secretly assigned to them by the few newly arrived Detroit corporate executive mass manipulation experts. This contemporary bigoted system used the trusted local media's proven mass manipulating capabilities to adversely shape the collective perceptions of the city's own black population as a means of maintaining a minority white dominance and control. Within the doctrines of Bernays, this method of psychological manipulation states that in order to maintain dominance and control over a target group, that the group aggressions must be turned inward against themselves. Simply stated, they must be made to hate themselves. And to accomplish this goal, the targeted group must be made to believe that their problem is an internalized one. This is precisely what's being done to longtime Detroit residents of color by the majority-controlled media. Its daily assault of deplorable minority-debasing images upon the black psyche is purposefully designed to adversely manipulate and shape the minds and collective consciousness of the target black population. This media-driven program from trusted media sources falsely devalued anything of color and effectively marginalized the black brand while exemplifying the white brand. It circulates black demeaning TV stories on crime, Kwame Kilpatrick, and other fake news reports designed to frame the myth of white people's racial, moral, and intellectual superiority over black people in Detroit. This mass manipulation produced internalized feelings of self-contemptuous responses within the targeted black population that hinders the black community's own unity, upward mobility, and manipulates them to accept white dominance over their lives. I think I'm about halfway. Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you didn't get, I think the people got the message already. So what I want you to do is just the reason why that was so important, it gave the people an idea of really what's going on, not just in Detroit but around the country.
Yep.
They've been doing what they've been doing all these years. So we are targeting, trying to get people to move on a level that they never done before. This is really about the TIs also. They've been doing this. Everybody is a TI, it appears to be, because they're making you do things you've never done before. But listen, I want to thank you so much for that. I got to move on, but if you got any closing remarks, you can go right here and say whatever you want.
No, that says it all, and we've got to fight it. We've got to figure out a way somehow, maybe just by letting people know that it's going on.
Right, and also we got to learn to teach people to fight together, because I tell you, this is a tremendous week for us, period. You know, a major victory of knowing that Lynn Stewart is now out of prison, and then we also got this going on the back door. What they're doing to us is criminal, but people have to say it's wrong before it gets to be wrong.
Yep.
Absolutely. Listen, I want to thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.
Thanks for your show. Bye-bye.
God bless you now, and have a great day. All right. So listen, now we're going to bring on my good friend from Chicago. He calls himself Yogi. Mr. Larry Pence. Larry Pence, are you there?
Oh, hey, my brother. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Just taking it one step at a time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I got some great news for your listeners, you know.
All right. Well, I know what you're talking about is tremendous. And just about what my last caller just spoke about, this could even fall into what you're trying to do. That book you wrote is called Chapter. Is that correct?
Exactly right.
That's C-H-A-P-P?
Yes, that's it.
All right. I tell you, it's a tremendous opportunity for the people if they ever get a chance to really talk about it. Tell us a little bit about it before I got some questions I need to ask you, but I want you to talk about it just a little bit so bring people up to date.
Okay, CHAPS is a pay system that will stop unemployment. The reason we have unemployment because we got people that work in overtime. So
mm-hmm.
it's really no such thing as overtime in a pay
mm-hmm.
system. 24 hours is 24 hours. That's it. It's not no 10-hour long days. It's not no 12-hour long days. It's 8-hour days. And how the pay system is set up, you can only get issued for your yearly salary 2,080 hours. That's 2,080 hours you're entitled to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when the post office set up their system, they are not covering the whole work week. The post office work week is 7 days, not five. So what they have to do in order to get this corrected, they have to cover 2 7-day work week and then 1 6-day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a total of 168 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to get four full-time employees to work those different hours. Okay, they have to be assigned those hours in a bid form. Now, they cannot have Saturday and Sunday off. They have to schedule the work week on, and then they got to schedule the work week off. And how you schedule the work week off, you use the 6 and 7 day of each employee. So, say, for instance, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now, that's the work week. That's a total of 100 and 60, 68 hours. But remember, you're covering 2 7-day periods and 1 6-day. So that's a total of 160 hours. Each full-time employee got 40 hours and 5 days. So that's 160 hours. The week is covered, as long as you put it up that way.
Wow.
Now,
let me ask you this. Are you talking about, if I ask you the question, what is clockable hours? Is that what you're explaining to me right now?
Exactly, clockable hours. Clockable hours, some people use the term hours that never go to sleep. And that's the term that we use when we're in a combat zone over there. You're on watch 24/7, okay? And so clockable hours is going to be there because 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. That's your yearly salary. And so you got to come to work in order to get your clockable hours. If you don't come to work, then your clockable hours are still there, and then your hours are there to pay another person that's non-scheduled that day to come in and do your work. But the post office, won't explain it to people, and you got so many people confused at the post office. That they don't understand it either.
They don't understand the system, huh?
They don't understand the system, but if you ask one of them, they get kind of angry and say they do, but they don't. Because the only way you understand that system is you read my book. That's the only way.
Let me ask you another question. When people work overtime, how does it affect the pay system?
Okay, when people work overtime, remember I told you when people come to work, they're entitled to 8 hours of pay. Full-time employees, they're entitled to 8 hours of pay. Okay, so when they work 2 hours over, where's that money coming from? Because it's not in their pay.
Mm-hmm.
That's extra hours. So most pay systems, you know, like the government pay system, for instance, the Chicago Police Department, they may have like $84 million, I don't know. I'm just putting a figure out there, to pay overtime with. But that's so unnecessary. All they got to do is schedule the work week right.
Mm. Let me say this. So what you're saying, if I'm correct,
right,
the overtime is causing unemployment.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
Overtime is causing, right, because now this is how it's causing unemployment. See,
uh-huh.
And this is why you shouldn't have overtime, okay, because you got to understand the 8-hour work week. So let's go with the post office. The post office use, they call them tours, you know, and the same thing they say, you know, a tour duty in the Army. So it's a tour duty at work at the post office. So tour one starts at 8 o'clock p.m. and it ends at 4 o'clock a.m. That's tour one. Tour two starts at 4 o'clock a.m. and ends at 12 o'clock. And then tour three starts at 3 o'clock and it ends at 8. That's 24 hours. It's no overtime in there. And another thing, and chaps, it's no punching out for lunch and then punching back in, because that's a waste of time. So I'm going to show you how that's a waste of time right now. Now, every tour, the first 4 hours you have to accrue for all your benefits. Okay, your benefits include paying for your health care. It pays for your you accrue 104 hours of sick leave, and the post office shouldn't call it sick leave. They should call it a personal leave, and then you accrue 160 hours of annual leave per year. And so the first 4 hours on your first day, you're working for your benefits. And then the next 4 hours, you're working for your yearly salary. And then so forth, the second day, same thing. First four for your benefits, the last four for your this year's salary. And then on day three, it changes. But the first 4 hours is still stay the same. The first 4 hours is going for your benefits, and the next 2 hours is going for this year's salary. And then the next 2 hours is going for next year's salary. So what you're doing, you're working hours over and over and over, and you will never run out. You'll never run out of hours. So in other words, as long as you don't run out of time, you'll never run out of hours. And then another thing, a lot of people don't understand, you know, it takes four people in order to cover, like I said, 2 7-day bids and 1 6-day bid. That's 160 hours. And so you got to remember, they got to be off. So that's why I say the 6 and 7 day. You cannot pile their off days on top of each other. Just like at the post office, the letter carriers. Mm-hmm. The letter carriers, all of them off on Sundays. But, you know, you have mail deliveries on Sunday. So every time a post office, postal person come and deliver mail on Sunday, they're on overtime. They're never on straight time. They're always on overtime, which is wrong.
And so that's what's eating up all the postal money. Is that correct?
Exactly right. And they're eating the money up. And then the postmaster general, he don't want to resolve the problem because he gets to go to Congress, and Congress is going to approve everything he say. But he needs to be not investigated. He just needs the president of the United States. The people just need to call the president of the United States maybe, and then tell him, hey, look, you need to run chaps and for the postal system and every pay system worldwide, nationwide.
Here's my question, Lance. It sounds so good. Do you think that these greedy, blood-sucking corporations really want to put this into, put this out there for the people?
Yes, they do. Now, I'm going to tell you why. See, remember, I told you, okay, I don't think I did tell you. You got to work 160 hours in order to earn 40. So the other 30, the other hours, okay, it takes 320 hours in order to earn two paychecks, and that's what you issue two paychecks in a 26 pay period year. It's 26 pay period that's issued to you.
Mm.
Not you don't work. You don't get a paycheck every 2 weeks at the postal system.
I think last time you told me there was no such thing as getting a paycheck every 2 weeks.
No, it's not. You know, because in order to work, when you get your postal check, it's going to say week one, week two. That's all it's going to. And then every check for 26 paychecks, it's going to say week one, week two, week one, week two, for 26 pay periods, okay? And then that means that you have to work 4 weeks in order to earn 1 week. And this is where the money is going. The first week is 10 hours for this year's salary, 10 hours for next year's salary, and 20 hours for your benefits.
Mm.
It's case closed. And so, say, for instance, the corporations. The corporations take money, you know, like McDonald's, because McDonald's on my Facebook, not Facebook, but in my website. And they said that the people, they want to make $15 an hour. And so they said that hamburger going to skyrocket if we pay them $15 an hour. Yes, that's probably true with the pay system that you got. But with chap pay system, that hamburger is not going to cost you nothing because out of that benefits, I just remember I told you that 20 hours of benefits that they're getting,
mm-hmm.
They're paying themselves while they're flipping the hamburger, but they're taking that money while they're flipping that hamburger. They're paying for their health insurance. They're paying for their vacation. They're paying for their sick leave, what folks are called. But I said they need to call it a different word, personal leave,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the reason, and the main reason the post office do that is a reason, but I can go into that later. But what the main thing you got to understand, now, in order to cover two 7-day bids and 1 6-day bid, you need four people on one tour, on tour one. You need four people on tour two, and you need four people on tour three. Now, tell me how many hours that is altogether. I mean, not hours, but days. If you're covering 2 7-day bids and 1 6-day bid, now how many days is that within 1 week?
I don't know. You tell me.
60 days.
Uh-huh. In 1 week?
60 days. In 1 week. Because each tour, remember, each tour, you got to cover two 7 days and 1 6-day bid. So it's 60 days in 1 week. And guess what? So it started out in tour one. So tour one, you schedule, you're going to cover 2 7-day bids and 1 6-day bids. So you need four people to do that. Okay.
Wow. You know, that's amazing. But listen, people got to get your book and read it, because I think for them to truly understand this, they got to get that book, because and what we can do, I do have a young man who will be calling you and getting in contact with you about this system, and he wants to know a little bit more about it. But in the meantime, tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, my website is called chapspaysystem.com. It's chapspaysystem.com. Chapspaysystem.com. And CHAPS means clockable hour application processing pay system. So you when you come to work, you're getting your clockable hours. You earn your clockable hours. But when you don't come to work, you're earning 9 clockable hours. 9 o'clock hours are holidays, 9 clockable hours. Your sick leave, what I say, I still want to reiterate, they should call it personal leave, but they call it sick leave as opposed to right now. But then your annual leave. So once you want to use 40 hours, you got to have a schedule, and you tell them, hey, look, I'm going to be off 40 hours, and then that's when the post office supposed to have somebody to come in and do your job.
Mm.
Now, the reason in any time zone, your time zone starts at 6 a.m. in the morning, and it ends at 2 p.m. in the evening, all mail delivery should be done for that time zone. The only reason it shouldn't be done is an accident, having a plane, the mail plane late or whatever. But on a normal day, all mail delivery in your time zone should be from the letter carrier should start at 6, and they should be through delivering mail at 2 or even before 2, you know, because they got to send a snail mail. And the only reason they had a snail mail is that the schedule is totally wrong. Totally wrong. And
all
that's
right. But listen, Yoke, I got to move on. And
okay.
We'll have you on again so you can explain it. But those people out there, go to his website, pick up the book, read the book, and see exactly what he's saying. But, Yoke, I got to move on. And I tell you, you really educated me about this system, and I appreciate that. But I got
okay,
to go.
But you know what? Let me tell you one thing. Over there in Benton Harbor, and then especially Detroit, tell the mayor to run CHAPS for his pay system.
All right, I'll do that.
And
listen,
he will, yeah. And he will, I guarantee you, he will stop unemployment.
Hey,
and
all right,
go
well, we'll talk soon.
All right, then.
Take care, yo.
Love
Hang
you,
on,
my brother,
don't
back.
Leave us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, now it's the man of the hour, the man who everybody is talking about, thanking for his wonderful work that he have done with Lynn Stewart. Him and Caroline, they have done some tremendous work. They've been on top of it. They know exactly what's going on. My good friend, Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney, are you there?
Yes, my brother. It's very, very good to hear your voice, strong and vibrant. Yes, I am here.
Absolutely. Matt, I tell you, you are somebody to know. I've been telling my TIs about getting out here working together, and the work that you've done behind Lynn Stewart was so tremendous. You didn't just make it national, you took it international. And you and Caroline have been working extremely hard, and kudos to her and you too for the work that y'all been doing. But you always on top of everything. One thing I will say about you, if someone call you, you would definitely get down to business and take it to a whole different level. That is what you're known for.
Well, my brother, that's what I hope I will continue to be known for because, you know, as we used to say back in the day, you know, talk is cheap, but action is supreme. That's what we said in the Black Panther Party, the original party. I believe that to this very day, this wonderful year, and I say it's wonderful, this wonderful year of 2014, and it's wonderful because our sister, Lynn Stewart, this political prisoner, this courageous, courageous woman who has fought for over four decades is out of the prison gulag. I am so happy. We have much more work to do, however.
You know one thing, Larry, I tell you, after speaking with her on Tuesday, and having a chance to speak with Raph and you, and I tell you, I had a New Year's that I am never going to forget. And it shows what we can do, Larry, if we
yeah.
work together. I mean,
that's
you
right.
know, the people that's been calling in, you know, and telling, and you've been writing about her, telling stories about her, telling people who she is, getting people the idea that, say, we're talking about somebody who's special. And we're just going to have to learn to work together. And all, you know, the words I use is more of us than them. And to me, that is a weapon that I use around here also. See, we got a recall in for the mayor here, but it wasn't just Reverend Pinckney doing this. It was the community that stepped up and did this.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, this is what I hope everybody remembers. In this victory, in getting our dear sister, our political prisoner, our courageous warrior, our courageous sister, Lynn Stewart, out of that hellish gulag, you know, what we need to remember is that this is the power of the people. This is the power of black, white, brown, red, yellow people throughout Mother Earth. We're talking tens of thousands of people in well over 60 countries, if not more, frankly, all over Mother Earth, all over this globe, who said, free our sister, free her. And it's not just about compassion. That's important, show compassion. But it's about the fact that she stood up for us. All her adult life, Lynn stood up for us. It was time for us to stand up for her. And it will continue to be time for us to stand up for our other political prisoners who are still in the hellish gulag, prisoners such as Sundiata Okole, prisoners such as Mumia Abdul-Jamal, prisoners such as Leonard Peltier. The list is almost endless, but it shows the power of the people, as we said in the Black Panther Party, the original Black Panther Party. All power to the people. They said it couldn't be done. Tell me the impossible, and we will do it.
Amen. And you know, Larry, you were the political prisoner yourself, so you know the feel. And matter of
yes.
fact, I was also, so we both were. So we understand
yes.
this stuff. And I tell you, you know, people have to get, you know, time to take off the gloves and deal with this mess. We got a real monster ahead of us, and we got to learn to defeat this monster. The only way we know how to do it is fight together. And I tell you, we got to bring on more political prisoners. So many in political prisoners that, you know, that we all got to work together. They cannot do it by themselves. We cannot do it by ourselves. We all have to work together hand in hand. And I tell you, Larry, you know, my hat is off to you. The work
well,
that you...
No, my brother. My hat is off to you. My hat is off to you and all the other brothers and sisters of all colors who unrelentingly kept saying, we have our sister. We want her home. We want her home. Ralph Pointer, her comrade and husband also set a sterling example, for all of us. When things looked dim, Ralph continued to stand tall, as did Lynn, tall. And, you know, I just want to say this very quickly. Fox News, you know, I don't like any of them. Fox, PBS, ABC, NBC, the corporate stream media. But Fox News had the nerve to say, who's responsible for having this woman free? This, I'll tell you who's responsible, Mr. Fox News. The people are responsible. All power to the people. The people all over this nation and all over the planet of Mother Earth. So I just had to put that in one. I want to
answer
Fox News.
And you know, Larry, you know, Fox News always, they always got something to say. And I remember they had a picture of me on Fox News, and they said, well, what kind of preacher fight for justice? We already got justice here in the United States. I mean, O'Reilly and his gang, it was really amazing. But I tell you, you know, we got to continue this fight, Larry. And I just want to say that, you know, I really appreciate you and Caroline for the work y'all doing and all the other peoples out there who called in and signed a petition and stuff like that. But they didn't have to do it, but they chose to do it. And that's why we're out today, and that's why we're able to say we have a major victory here, and we're going to continue to fight this battle, and we're not going to give up.
That's right. That's right. You know, and I wanted to mention one other political prisoner, and I apologize for not mentioning his name, Albert Woodfox, who was one of the Angola Three. He was also a veteran of the Black Panther Party, who has been in prison for decades and decades. And all of our political prisoners, though, every last man and woman and man, sister and brother, we want them out. And the only way we get them out, as we demonstrated, and I say we collectively demonstrated, is reaching out across the board throughout Mother Earth and across all political spectrums for to do the right thing, to do the just thing, to do the human thing, to do the thing of compassion. This is time. Our time is here. Our time is here.
Wow. You know what, Larry? You are absolutely correct. And I tell you, it's our time. And it's, you know, if we don't get it together very soon, everybody's going to be behind them barbed wire fences. A lot of people don't see it, you know. They living in this dream world, you know, that, you know, the government is good and righteous and all this kind of stuff. People, they don't understand that our government has been targeting people for years. But, Larry, I tell you what, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever your heart desire, and I'm going to move on. But whatever you want to say, you just say it. And And because, you know, you have definitely an open door policy here, especially with me. I love you, and I want you to know that. And I just want you to just do what you do and just continue doing what you're doing. And you're a very courageous young man. And anybody that is as courageous as you are deserves the applause of the people. And you definitely got my applause.
Thank you, my brother. All I have to say, it's right back at you, as we used to say back in the day, my brother, right back at you, because you are everything that I am and have been. And, you know, as are your listeners, our listeners, they're out there, but they're not just listening. They're taking action. They're standing up. So I want to also convey at this point in time on the Pinkney to Pinkney show, I want to say, Lynn, I love you. Ralph, I love you. All power to everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and struggling people. All power to the people.
Oh, wow. That is tremendous, Larry. And I will talk to you soon. Stay focused, and we are here for you.
Thank you, my brother. Stay strong.
All right.
I love you.
Love you too, man. Hey, it's time to bring on my good friend Edward from Oklahoma. Edward, are you there? Edward, are you there? Edward, are you there?
Yes, you just unmuted me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay, you just unmuted me. Am I coming across clear?
You come very clear, Edward.
Okay. Oh, where do I start? Okay, let me start by reiterating that I want to know why they brought in 30,000 guillotines into this country. I want to know why they made up 100,000 boxcars to hold humans with shackles in them and put guillotines in lots of them, why they set up 3,876 FEMA re-education camps with double rows of fencing and barbed wire facing the inside, with pits to hold humans outside of them and slabs that you can see from the satellite. I have pictures of them, with guillotine at the end of them next to these pits with a light post on them. Why they set them up all over the country, even in Arizona, where they have a law that says they're not allowed to use the guillotine, so they never registered that giant FEMA camp in the south by the border. I want to know why they gas chambers in these and crematoriums in them. What are they planning? What are they doing? Okay. I actually have the answers, but I want people to ask the questions. Why did they bring in the 30,000 guillotines? Why are they assaulting us with our food? Why is the food so horribly deficient of all nutrition in the markets? Everything that's processed is actually not food. It's really something to fill your stomach, but it really isn't food. The corn syrup has mercury in it. The FDA, which I call the Fraud and Drug Administration, actually states that more than 50% of all the corn syrup, which is basically used to fatten the people, it's four times more fattener than sugar. And they say more than 50% of it has mercury in it. So thousands of items are showing up in those stupid markets with mercury in them, and it accumulates in your body, destroying your health. Now, for many years now, I've been reversing, helping people to reverse their dysfunctional health. I get them to do it themselves by getting out of the way all positive ionic matter out of the body, which is poisons, toxins, unwanted bacteria, viruses, heavy metals, which the TIs are basically being targeted by frequency on the heavy metals in their body, and radiation. Get it out of the body, and you'll see your health will dramatically improve in every aspect. Now, they don't need us anymore. Basically, I uncovered some more information, and basically what they have done is they've extracted all the tax money out of the people for decades now, and they have much more than $110 trillion in investments between the cities, the states, the counties, the school systems. They all have private investment funds. They're not telling anybody, and under statute law, they do not have to report it in their budget basis. If, for instance, as an example, New Jersey had a $17 billion annual physical tax budget that they needed to pay, they would tax the people 100% in 1989. But they never told people they were taking in $86 billion a year in profits off the turnpike alone and have over $1.2 trillion in investments. Every city, county, school system, everything that makes a profit, they don't have to report. So they continue to tax the people dry and bleed them dry. Well, they have so much in investments now that the people actually in this country are paying approximately $4.8 trillion in taxes while they're making profits off their investments of $8.6 trillion. So they've gotten to the point where they can get rid of the people, because what's the sense of having the people around? It's called extermination. And if people don't wake up soon, they're going to find themselves in these re-education FEMA camps, and they're going to be woken up or put to sleep, so to speak. They're going to rape them and murder them if they're not re-educationable. Now, I just want to read a couple of things. Now, about 5 months ago, I got a call from an individual named Joe Long, who runs in a group called Federation of New Jersey Taxpayers. He called me up on Sunday morning. He goes, "Walter, we just got New Jersey's 1998 Comprehensive Annual Financial Report." By the way, these are CFARs or FARs, which are annual financial reports, comprehensive annual financial reports. They have over $295 billion in liquid investment funds. Isn't that awful?
Mm.
He said, "Joe, you're just looking at the state report. There's 21 counties, a couple of hundred cities and municipalities, autonomous agencies, all separate reports. If you take the composite totals of the liquid investment funds, you're well in excess of $1.2 trillion. If you take the population of New Jersey and divide it into $1.2 trillion, that comes out to a cash allocation of $146,000 per man, woman, and child living in the state, or a family of four or six, five. That equals $700,000+. The obfuscation of the wealth has been excessive." So what they're really saying is that they don't really need your tax dollars, but they're charging you 100% of the budget and crying poverty in every school system, in every city, in every state, and the federal government saying, "Well, we're $16 trillion in deficit," while they have hundreds of trillions of dollars, literally, at least over $110 trillion. I'm getting to the bottom of the whole thing. And they're lying about everything. They don't need us anymore, and they don't want us here, the bloodlines. Now, let me back this up, what I was going to say. Bush Jr. is a distant cousin of Obama, Cheney, and most of the other presidents, not Kennedy. Ford, there's so many of them, I'll have to send you the file on exactly how everybody's related. Mm. All of these presidents are all related. You and I are going to talk later, Reverend Pinckney, and yes, I'm going to bring you up to speed on some facts real quickly so you don't have to wade through all the muck and mire.
Absolutely. Now, you know what? You got about 3 minutes, and then I got to bring on my good friend Ralph Pointer. Can you sum it up in 3 minutes for me?
Well, I pretty much summed that up. I was going to read a couple of more things, but I guess reading it won't be of any good.
All right, but I tell you what I do next week.
Here's what I'll tell you. People call me every day, and from your show too, I've had people call me and referring. Other individuals, Tina's called me from your show, and I've been helping everyone reverse their dysfunctional health without any pharmaceuticals. I teach people how they can get off all the pharmaceuticals and reverse everything to do with their health. And I don't care what it is. Stage 4 cancer, watch me reverse it let them reverse it. I do it to four-leggeds, get them up off the ground. They can't even get up off the ground, the dogs. They're loaded with tumors, they're ready to die, and we completely reverse it and make them young again. I do it to two-leggeds if they don't go for the chemotherapy and radiation, which destroys their immune system, and they come down with pneumonia, and then they die. I get phone calls from Rachel 2 weeks ago. Her mother died. Well, she was only told 6 weeks ago, her 86-year-old mother, that she had cancer, and they went for chemotherapy and radiation. They were pressured by her siblings. She didn't want them to get it, but she had no choice and to stop it, okay? So what I do is I teach people how to reverse pneumonia in under 24 hours in everyone. Everyone. And sometimes doctors call up and want to know why their patients don't have tumors in their lungs anymore. Well, one of the applications, they coughed them up just like the pneumonia. And they can't relate to doctors because they're ignorant, actually, basically. They only learned cut and poison allopathic medicine. And if you heard some of the radio shows that we do, just about our health, you'll understand why you never want to go to the American Moron Association's medical institutions, because they do not know how to reverse anything, and they're not here to cure anything. Their main purpose, and they're funded by the pharmaceutical companies, and I have all the files to back me up on everything. It would take me a long time to explain everything to everyone. You can call me, reach me at 818-613-9206. You can also go to, let me say that again, 818-613-9206, and we can talk about a number of different things, what you want to talk about. You can also go to a website that shows you what calcium bentonite clay out of a 43-million-year-old volcano, a subterranean mine, how it completely seems to reverse all types of dysfunctional health. And that's abchealth.info, abchealth.info. And I'll be glad to help anyone that actually wants some help.
Wow, that's great, Edward. I really appreciate that. Listen, I know you have some information. I know how you talk about stage 4 cancer, how the products will cure them and everything. But I'm going to give you a chance.
It doesn't cure anything. What it does is it pulls out everything that blocks the body from returning to normal homeostasis. Once the body returns to normal homeostasis, and we can do it as quickly as possible, I know a number of ways of completely reversing stage 4 cancer, and that's when the doctor says, you got 2 months, make the best of it. We've already radiated you and given you chemotherapy. Make the best of it. Well, it can all be reversed. People have to understand. They need to know. What does it say in those scriptures, Reverend Pinckney? Our people shall perish for lack of knowledge, not for lack of reading the scriptures, not for lack of faith, for lack of knowledge.
Wow, that's tremendous. Listen, we got to leave it right there. Hey, but listen, I'm believing in you. We're going to talk soon, and we're going to see what we can do. And I know a lot of people are going to be calling you. Repeat that number one more time, and I got to move on. Go ahead.
I love you, and you're doing such a wonderful job. 818-613-9206.
All right. Listen, I will be talking to you very soon. God bless you. We'll talk soon. And now is the showtime. It's time for my good friend, my guy, from that stormy, snowy city, ugly New York. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. And first, let me apologize. I was sitting and updating this phone, and I fell asleep. But now I'm here with the person that you have worked with and have worked for years. And your prayers, I'm sure your prayers were an element to bring her home, and she's here. So this is Ralph Pointer and
Lynn Stewart.
Hello there, Lynn Stewart. How you doing?
Hi, Reverend Pinckney. Well, I am doing. I am in such a great state. I am so, and I don't mean New York. I mean my own personal state of good feelings, goodwill, and just sheer joy and happiness. I can't tell you. You cannot know. Only baby people who have been in jail, like yourself, like me, who get out of jail can know the feeling of being able to relate to our fellow human beings in a normal, loving way. I am so overjoyed, and I have to say that my dear husband, Ralph Pointer, how he worked for me, how he never let an opportunity go by. If some group, if they were 4 or they were 40 or they were 400, he was there to talk to them about Lynn. And I tell you, that made all the difference, because there's no question that this is a people's victory. My no longer being in jail, my being home to be able to fight the good fight, to be able to be myself again, this is all due to his work and with a little bit of help from me.
Right. But you know what, then? I got to give you credit. You pushed Ralph over the edge. I mean, he was, matter of fact, me and him was going to, Rhode Island, and he was driving. And he said that I have to get there to speak about land. And I said, well, Ralph, you got to slow down. And he said, well, I got to get there. And we was traveling, and I just want to say, Lynn, I am so happy. My heart, when I heard your voice on Tuesday, one of the happiest moments really in my life, because we was looking forward to you coming home and the people there. And Larry was definitely, he was one of the ones spearheading this thing, too. He went beyond the call of duty, and we was like the three musketeers. You had your husband, Ralph, you had Larry Pinckney, and you had the Reverend Edward Pinckney. And I tell you, Lynn, I am so excited. I don't know what to say. I am so happy that you're home, and this is a major victory for the people.
And I must say that you definitely are a big piece of this victory, and now we have to move to the second victory. As you said on your program, we are bringing Lynn home. Well, we have brought Lynn home. Now we must cure Lynn of that cancer. I heard the gentleman before talking, but I'm going to lean basically on what we have had our success with. So, Reverend, get that prayer book. Say those prayers. I told Lynn while she was in prison, I said, if you could only hear Reverend Pinckney praying on your behalf, you would be cured already.
True, true, true.
Mm. And so here we are in this wonderful moment. And I can't tell you. I'm not going to tell her about Rhode Island, so don't you tell her.
Ralph, you may have to tell her about Rhode Island.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I said to him at one point, maybe a month ago, I said, Ralph, you're going to be no good to me if you're dead, so please, take it easy, take it slow. He says, when I go to sleep at night, I think, is there anything I didn't do? Is there anyone I didn't call? Is there any place I didn't visit? Because if there's one place I missed, is that going to make the difference? He labored under that kind of constraint. And I tell you, his labors and, of course, all of the wonderful people who supported me, you, of course, Reverend Pinckney, but I'm talking about, people who signed a petition, then they got 10 of their friends, and then those friends got 10 more, and how this was a people's movement. You're familiar with people's movements. You've had success out in Benton Harbor, and you know how this works, the old-fashioned method. You organize the people, and the people won't take no for an answer. So it really is. It's a victory. We have needed a victory for a long time now, and I am just happy to be the point person. I am happy to be the beneficiary of this particular victory. So here I am. I'm sure they didn't want to let me go, but they were darned if they did and darned if they didn't. So they let it go.
Let me ask you, some of the people that's in there now, are you still in communication with them? Or are you in communication with them in any kind of way?
Well, I'm not permitted. I have also a 5-year period of probation, which is funny, which prohibits me from communicating with any felon.
Oh.
Now, I spoke to the probation officer. I said, I do a lot of public speaking. How do I know? I said, we can't do DNA tests at the door. She says, no. It's just, it's if it's very down front, if you're doing it very ostensibly. So I'm not really in touch with anybody, but they know that my overall work, my emphasis is going to be on relieving the terrible, onerous lives that women in prison live, and also in working for the prisoners of the politics of the 60s, who were often framed, who were only acting in defense of the community, and yet have done 30, 35, 40 years. I could name them for you, but I hope people know their names, and I hope in the months to come I'll be able to come on here and talk to you about Sundiata Okoli, talk to you about Jaleel Montacom, talk to you about Mr. Woodfolk, talk to you about Sekou Odinga, all of these people who are beneath the jail, forgotten, never considered. We have got to do that if we consider ourselves the people of justice.
Wow. And you know that when we was in Rhode Island, Ralph and myself, you had written a letter that Ralph wrote, and that letter brought tears to my eyes because, you know, you were telling people, don't worry about you, but worry about the other political prisoners. And, you know, you usually don't hear people talking on that level when they're locked up. And I always tell Ralph this. I say, wow, she's the most unselfish person I have ever met.
Well, thank you, Reverend. And we are going to be able to sit down at a dinner in New York, and we can further this movement to have justice all around.
Maybe Detroit.
Even in Detroit. Can you imagine?
Well, they probably won't let you leave the state of New York right now, will they?
That is true.
They'll revoke my passport, Reverend.
you want me to write Obama?
Write Obama and say, Lynn,
matter of fact, I'll go have dinner with him myself and make him do it.
We want to come to Benton Harbor first.
Matter of fact, I want you to down here in Benton Harbor so we can have the Occupy, the PGA, come in 2014.
All right.
Rob, you was at 2012, so you know how it goes.
I know how it goes.
Absolutely. I tell you, I am really excited about having Lynn home, Ralph. I tell you, no one is more excited than me and my wife. I know the night we got to call my wife, she was so happy that she's been praying for you, Lynn. She's been praying, and she's been asking God to release you, and now you're released, but now we got to make sure that they don't try to put you back in handcuffs again, because I know these devils, they'll do anything to stop you if they can.
I have no question the power of all that prayer that came from around the globe and concentrated on corrupt and evil Washington, D.C., is what made the difference. It pushed them in a way they haven't been pushed in a while. Now we have to harness that tremendous energy and use it for other people because there are so many wrongs to be righted. And if we're not here for that, and we might as well not be here. I might as well be sitting in Carswell in Texas. Got to right those wrongs, bring those walls of Jericho down. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely. But listen, I want to bring on a good friend of definitely yours, Lynn, and Ralph, and mine. I want to bring Larry Pinkney back. Larry Pinkney, you there?
Yes, I am.
Are you
here? I'm here, my brother.
Listening to Lynn Stewart?
My sister Lynn, my brother Ralph, I'll pile through the people. You know, I have to say that this is a true, true, true people's victory across the political spectrum, black, white, brown, red, yellow, everybody. And, you know, I said earlier when I was on the program, I said, you know, Fox News had the unmitigated audacity to say, who's responsible for setting Lynn Stewart free? And my answer was, the people, everyday ordinary people. Love you, Lynn. Love you, Ralph. What can I say? I'm sorry, brother. I just have to say that.
Hey, well, you know what?
We're looking to have this dinner with you, Caroline, Reverend Pinkney, Dorothy, all of the great people in New York. And Lynn says she's too beat to cook. But we'll have somebody cook. And you come down, and we will continue this conversation, and we will spread our love and determination out of this.
Yes.
You know, and all these sports things, which are so dominating in this society, they always talk about the great combinations, you know? And certainly Pinkney Squared, as I call the two of you, is one of the great combinations. I mean, the two of you are just phenomenal. And I can't tell you, reading and having Ralph recount for me, the Reverend's radio program every week, I tell you, what a dynamic duo, and I don't mean Batman and Robin.
Hey, I tell you that Lynn, that is tremendous. We just stand together. We go back to back. We just whatever needs to be done, we do it, Lynn. That's what it's all about. And look, and here's the thing: we'll go all over the country. It doesn't make a difference where you're at. You know, if the call is right, we'll be there.
You're right. That's what makes it so wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely,
that's
Lynn.
Right.
Listen,
that's right.
I know I don't want to steal all your time right now, but if it's possible, anytime you feel like you want to come back on the program, you just let me know you want to talk about something. You can definitely call me because you got top priority on this show. On the Pinkney, show, you have top priority.
Ralph. I mean, you know, he's gotten used to being on there with you. I don't want to be an upstage him, you know. I don't want to make him feel bad, Rev, you know.
I don't think you can make Ralph feel bad.
I'm
all you're doing is give him a strip on and he'll go to sleep.
I know that's right.
Absolutely, absolutely. But listen, Lynn, you know, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever your heart desire and say whatever you want, and this is your show also. This is when we talk about Pinkney, we talk about Ralph, and we talk about you, Lynn Stewart, and we want you to know that we love you very much, and we are so ecstatic to have you home. I don't even know what
yes.
to tell you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
but listen, Lynn, it's your time.
My final words are, we are all moved by great feelings of great love, in the words of the great revolutionary Che Guevara. And
yes.
let me tell you, the love that we feel is not Hollywood style. This is the kind of love that compels you to act on behalf of your fellow man. And that's why I'm so comfortable and laughing here, because I know I'm among my fellow persons who understand the importance of the fight out here. If we're not fighting, we might as well roll up our toes, pull up the grass, and hang it up. So let's remember the fight. Let's keep it going. Let's fight on for people's rights, for human rights, for the love of the people.
Yes.
Wow, that's
wow.
tremendous, Lynn. We love you so much. And I want you to know, anytime you feel like calling me, you are welcome to call me, to talk to me anytime your heart desire. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You can call my number and talk to me. If I'm asleep,
I promise
you I'll wake up.
If you get me calling at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll know it's not me. I'm a
well, you know, I'm going to be early myself. Absolutely. Listen, Ralph, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever your heart desire.
All I want to say is there are no words that I can summon up to thank the work of you and Larry and the people around you and the people around this country. And I'm going to be talking and thinking about it until forever. And I can only say thank you, thank you, thank you, and the struggle continues.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely, Ralph. And I see.
They made a big mistake by letting me out. I'm not going to
stop it,
Lynn. I'm not going to die. I'm going to fight the cancer, and I'm going to end up, you know, doing what I have done for a lifetime, and that is standing up for justice.
Sure,
and you know,
right.
Lynn, it doesn't get any better than that. And we're, you know, we want you to continue this fight because we're going to be fighting alongside of you. You know, you got the Pinkney, and you know, we're there for you. We know, if we have to take the gloves off and deal with these people, we will do it because we'll go back to back
right.
with them.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And of course, you
absolutely.
Understand when I say they made a big mistake. I mean that in a poetic sense. I'm not saying they made any mistake because I certainly. Given my health, given my age, given my background, I certainly was more that it was a no-brainer. I was entitled to get out. But when
That's
I say,
right.
but I, when I say that, I mean I am not going to give up my struggle. I am not going to be someone
mm-hmm.
different than I have been for a lifetime.
Oh, Lynn, you know what? Let me just say this real quick. This is Larry Pinkney. Lynn,
sure.
you know, you are the embodiment. You are the embodiment, whether you like it or not, as we used to say back in the day in the Black Panther Party. You are the embodiment in the year 2014 of what the people, everyday ordinary people can do. You know, we love you so much, and we haven't even begun to fight.
Hey, that's,
yes,
that's,
indeed.
That
All
is
right.
true. Absolutely. But listen, I want to say this to you, Lynn. We will be talking soon. And, Ralph, you hang in there.
You got
and
it.
I tell you, whatever you do, Don't drive. Let Lynn drive.
Yeah. That's right. Right.
Whatever you do, don't drive, Ralph. We need Lynn. Don't drive. Listen, on that note, I got to move on, and I want to thank you so much, Ralph and Lynn. And I know Ralph probably will be with us again next week. Lynn, if I will, maybe if you come on next week, I'll spread the word out. We got almost maybe 750,000 people listening. I thought we would have 1 million by now, but if you come on next week, I know we'd probably get 1 million people. Because I didn't put the word out this week, but next week, if you came on and say a few more words, just say 5-10 minutes of words, that's all you need to say, and I tell you, we will be more than happy to have you.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much, and I do apologize again. Thank you so much. You understand the whirlwind that we have been on The first night was 3 hours sleep, the second night no sleep, and I'm still loving it. I'm loving it. We have to go. So thank you, and thank you, and thank you. Much
and
love.
Thank you. That's the most important thing. We thank both of y'all. Take care, Lynn. Love you. Have a great day, Ralph. We love you, and you take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Love you.
All right, then. That was my good friend, Ralph Pointer, and his wife, Lynn Stewart. We love them. We love them, and we love them. But now it's my TI time. Target individuals, people who've been targeted by our government. And I tell you, you people out there, I know you don't believe it, that your government, the government that you love, is actually targeting and destroying people. I'm going to bring on my good friend, Ken. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney. How you doing? And I'm so happy to hear that Lynn finally got out.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tell you, Ken, it's been tremendous. Hey, also, I talked to Pokerface, too. He called me last night.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. He want to come on the show, and I told him that, you know, that we'll find space for him somewhere along the line. He said, just let him know when, where, and the time, and he's ready to roll.
That's good. He gives a very good speech.
Absolutely.
We
talked extremely well last night. We talked for about 30, 40 minutes last night.
Well, we need Lynn to get well because the TIs do need a good attorney, but most people don't realize that this country's been hijacked. They all think everything's getting better, everything's getting good, everything's going to keep going the way it is, and we're going to get our jobs back. That ain't going to happen anytime soon, I'll tell you that. I'll give you a prime example. Right close to my house, they're putting out notices now. They're going to put the smart meters on people's houses, which they cause cancer, all kinds of health products, you know, problems. And I gave a guy a DVD. He said, well, why would they put them on if they're doing harm to people? I said, you know, what does it take for the American people? They don't get it. We're all being mind controlled. They want to kill 80% of us. But all we hear on the national news is about Charlie Sheen and all the women he's been having sex with, or Tiger Woods with all the women he's having sex with. They never tell you about our government's been hijacked. And the lady spoke earlier on Edward Bernays. He said he didn't believe in God yet, but he will when he becomes God.
Mm.
He said, we can get the American people to work against their own self-interest. Tell me that ain't happening. Well, he's got to that point right now, so he's accomplished that too. You know what's wrong with America? It's not a wrong unless they're doing it to you. That's the way most people look at it. It's not a wrong unless they're doing it to you. Well, wake up. Now they're doing it to all of us, everyone. It's just unbelievable. Then we heard for how many days on Mitt Romney's black grandson, how he accepts the apology of MSNBC and all that. And we're talking about one black baby. And I understand that black baby is important. Why don't he pass a law that says we can't abort 52% of them every year in this damn country? You know, if he really cares about the black babies, not just his adopted black grandson, why don't he do something about the rest of them? I get aggravated as hell. And then
wow,
it reminds me.
Kenny, you ready to say something today? I think you ready to do some talking today. So, Ken, you go right ahead. Just say whatever your heart desires.
Well, that's about me. It's I think it reminds me of that song Michael Jackson sang, "They Don't Need Us Anymore."
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're going to get cars in Michigan to drive without drivers. They're going to have robots to do everything. So what are they telling the American people? You better wake up because they do want to kill 80% of us. That's what most Americans can't understand, that they do want to kill 80% of us. I heard the guy talking about the guillotine. I've heard about him. I didn't know if it was true or not. I'd like to see some evidence on it, but I guarantee you they do plan on killing 80% of us. If you go look at the Georgia Guidestones, that get the population down to 500 million, never let it exceed that. What are they talking about? Did they put those up there just to have a nice the stones that look good? Well, I don't think so. They're wrote in like 21 different languages. So American people better wake up, and they better do it fast, because all these people that are out here think they got a government job, and they're doing this to the TIs because we deserve what they're doing. And at the same time, they're using this technology on you. They're making you sick. They're giving your kids cancer. And all these cops, they're out here beating people over the head and doing all this evil stuff. Your kids are drinking the fluoride in the water. They're eating the GMO foods. What do they think? Just keep being evil and ain't gonna come back to you? And I'm pretty worked up today, so I'll let somebody else come on, Reverend Ping, but thanks for your show. And
Ken, thank you. You're John Brown. You know, you my John Brown, and I know what you can do, and I really appreciate you, Ken. And I want you to just stay focused and do the things that need to be done, and we're going to take this thing to a whole different level. That's how we're going to do it. We're going to learn to fight together and win this war. That's what it's all about.
Our next big deal is we got to get Lynn cured of the cancer so that we can get somebody to go to court for us.
All right, let's do what we have to do. You know what I'm saying? All right, my brother,
okay.
Ken, I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Adrian, are you there? Ms. Pines.
Oh, yes, I am. Hello?
Oh, okay. Okay, you had me confused there. How you doing today?
Because my phone kept going in and out. Yeah, you know, the information, I'm glad that people are bringing out what I have been trying to get information out to a lot of people, and a lot of people think that it's just crazy. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's because they're not looking, you know, up the information themselves to see what's going on. And the gentleman that had just actually just left off when he was saying they were trying to kill over 80% of the population, they were talking about actually over 90% that they wanted to kill off. And it's a lady, I think I had sent the email to you, Dr. Rima LeBeau. She's a psychiatrist who was married to
I got that email.
Yeah, a top-ranking military officer. And the stuff is real, what's going on. And that's why a lot of times when I talk about, you know, even how the system targets people, because even when I go to the doctor, I don't even get the basic standards, you know, of medical care. I don't even get fairness when I go in. And this nurse had told me, she said, well, they may have you red flagged through Judge Virgil Smith because you spoke out against him. And I will continue to speak out against him. For what he did to my children by placing them back with a child molester, their father, Dr. Tynes, who the children repeatedly, you know, spoke out against about his conduct and behavior. And at no point did any police officer, any forensic examination or investigation was done with him. It was just based on, you know, his influences and friends in the system speaking. So, and my thing is that people have to wake up and see that this is actually happening and this is going on. This is real, what they're doing to families and everything, because even when I had tried to apply for Medicaid, and I shouldn't even have to do that because I had Blue Cross Blue Shield when I was married to my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes. And this attorney was telling me, he said, you're still going through the consequences of what he caused you, you know, from the marriage, the health issues that he caused. He admitted to putting some unknown substance in my system while I'm still having health problems. And just basically all of that was ignored. And the social worker had told me, he said, they're treating you differently. They won't give you Medicaid. they won't give you disability through the state medical board, and these doctors are the ones that's blocking it. You know, and when I tried to look in deeper, you know, some attorney from Ann Arbor Legal Aid, when I was living in Ann Arbor, had told me that they could see that I was being treated differently, like as if I'm targeted. And the only thing that I've done was spoke out about the injustice, what the court system had did with my children and me, with depriving us of our rights and not even giving us a fair chance to present our side of what actually happened and what went on, or even to have him investigated properly. They didn't do that. So it's very real, you know, how they target people and they block you from getting what is rightfully yours. And this criminal attorney who had basically, we know he was killed off, Attorney Leonard Esten, he had told me, he had stated, he said, you know, the system blocked your source of income, that he was, you know, that my ex-husband was due to give to me and everything. He said they're trying to block you in every way that they can. And he said by him being, you know, when he was alive, a criminal attorney for over 40 years, he said, I'm looking at what I see, what they're doing here. And he said, your case is bigger than the Penn State scandal, and people are not doing anything about it. And he ended up being disbarred because he didn't work, you know, go along with the corruption in the legal system, you know. And he was trying to get his license back, but they did everything that they could to keep him from getting his license back to truly represent the people. Said, you got attorneys out here that won't follow a case, take a case all the way through, won't, you know, practice law. They'll tell their clients to do some type of plea bargain, you know, and if it's something that the person has not even did, you know, that was wrong, just to, you know, to push the case on, you know, and not to give the person any type of fairness or due process. So, you know, and my issue is that, you know, I'm still going to fight, you know, what they did with me and my kids, and I see how my kids are. They're not themselves. Even though they're intelligent, they're not themselves, and they have even got them to back down from what they had been crying and complaining about for many years, you know, about the abuse that their dad was doing to them. So, and that's why I, you know, me, myself, I will continue, you know, to just speak out and fight and try to get some type of justice that, you know, from where they deprived me and my children from getting some type of justice. And one key factor that I see with all of my kids, when I, the last time I had seen them, all of them have fear of their father. They have fear of the system, the people that protected him and not them, the children. So, and the guy that's named Edward that had just went off the air earlier, I want to contact him to see if I can, you know, get with him to get some, you know, information as far as health issues. And I think he was on a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about how he knows how, the, you know, the legal system operates and what steps need to be taken in order to, you know, counteract when, you know, you've been treated unjustly.
Interesting. On this time, I know that you're being targeted, and I'm going to give you Edward's phone number. Are you being targeted with the microwave or any kind of electronic, or is it just something they're doing, like in the court system? How are you being targeted by our government?
You know what, that's why I need to get more information. You know, it could be something, you know, where they're targeted as far as the microwave or whatever, because I know my ex-husband, Dr. Tynes, he used to have monitoring devices around the house. His Aunt Viola Creighton had told me, and I couldn't understand, you know, he was at one point had this microwave that he was really, just really too fond of, in my opinion, you know, so I don't know if he was using that, because he studies a lot of illegal government experimentations that they do, which they do to people. And he, you know, he talked about how the government protect doctors when they do illegal experimentations on patients. And that, you know, and I told him, I said, I don't know exactly what, how I'm totally being targeted. I know one angle is through the court system, but it was strange to me that sometimes, what was it, when I was going through my divorce, this attorney that was supposed to be my attorney knew exactly what I had said in my home when the phone wasn't, you know, I wasn't on the phone with the person or anything, and that was strange to me. And even if there's a possibility that that could be, you know, a form of how they're targeting. Also, I noticed that two of my children, and I woke up to my ex-husband, Dr. Pine, actually putting something in my upper inner part of my right arm, and I felt two objects above it, and they laughed in my face, and that I couldn't understand how my ex-husband knew where I was at, you know, at times what I was talking about, because I know he would always try to push, like, computers and stuff on me with the kids when the kids were with me, and I found that to be strange because even when we were married, we didn't even have that many computers like that, and that was strange to me, and he knew what I was saying. So, I mean, it goes even further, you know, than what, you know, anyone could try to understand because the government know what they have out here. They could be doing that. You know, I'm not totally, you know, aware of that, but I know that they do have certain systems. I know that they knew when I communicated with my kids, and I knew my kids hadn't shared any of that with them, and it's just strange. You know, I don't put anything past them. The government already talks about how they have, like, microchips and what is this? I guess the televisions and many ways of tracking and hearing people, because even when I was at a crime prevention, police brutality, some type of crime prevention meeting, this was last year, and the people in that meeting, they were just speaking out against how the police department, you know, when you have a lot of the police officers treating people unjustly. And I was telling them, you know, they can monitor you even when your cell phones are off. And they were shocked to hear that. And I was telling them, it's best if you're going to talk about anything that you're going to do that, you know, to protect people from the criminals, because they are criminals when they choose to break the law themselves to harm people. You know, it's wise not to have your cell phone around. And even though they try to make us think that those are the ways that they monitor and do different things, they talk about how they put implants in people, microchips, advanced technology that they're not letting the public know about. The stuff that we know about is what they've been using.
Mm-hmm.
They already have new technology out here that they don't let people know about that they actually use to monitor people, to do whatever they can, you know. And I read up some information dealing with the CIA, where they were talking about they have devices where they can put in people to cause them pain, to cause all type of dysfunctions that go on in a person's body. So, I mean, it's actually deeper than what the actual, you know, person would really believe that exists out here, you know. And I often wonder, because I go through a lot of pain in my muscles or whatever is going on, because one doctor told me, he said, strange the symptoms that you have. And I didn't start having these symptoms until after my ex-husband, Dr. Pine, injected something or put some unknown substance in my system, which he admitted to. He stated he was medicating me, which there was no reason to medicate me. He did that to cause me not to be able to function while he was getting away with molesting our sons and daughters, based on them sharing what had happened. So, you know, possibly that could be a way, you know, microwave. I don't, you know, put it past him, because I know it do exist. And As I have stated, my dad had told that he used to work for what was called the CID, the Criminal Investigation Division through the CIA, because he was in Air Force Intelligence. He didn't have to fight. And it's just certain things that he would share and tell me and my oldest brother about, you know, what the government was doing when we were kids and stuff, you know. And we used to look at him and think something was wrong with him and laugh about it. And then later on, as I got older, I was like, wow. He actually knew what he was talking about. You know, he was saying that how they can monitor people, they can even monitor you from out of space or whatever. And we used to laugh as kids. And we found out that was a satellite, you know, and I was like, okay, he do know certain things, you know. And I was just amazed to, you know, actually hear that this stuff is real, everything that he was telling us.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. And I want you to know that my wife and myself, we love you, and we're going to do anything we can to help you. And that's not a say-so, that's a promise. But you stay in touch with me. You know how to get in touch with me. Stay in touch. You got 90 seconds. Say whatever your heart desires.
Well, I just say, you know, I'm grateful that you do have your show and you're allowing me to speak, and that you're allowing other people to speak, and not to, you know, just to be what is it, intimidated by people that may say this sounds crazy, what you're having on your show. but the information is true and it's real, and people have to wake up and start coming together, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to move forward and protect our loved ones, our families, and each other.
Absolutely. And remember, there's more of us than them, but we have to put this thing together. Got to stop fighting with each other and start fighting together. On that note,
that's right.
I got to let you go, Adrian. Love you. Take care of yourself. If you need me, you know how to get in touch with me. I got to bring on my good friend, Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am here this week, Reverend Pinckney. I was MIA last week, but I needed to spend some time with my daughter. And I think the Creator had set that up, because during the week I received a call from Derek Robinson, and he said a young woman was going to call me. Would I speak with her? I said, sure, I'll talk to her. Well, when she called me, she sounded like a child. Oh, greetings, everyone. But she sounded like a child. So I said, honey, how old are you? She said, I'm 33. She's being targeted. And it affected me in a way that I said, no, I have to find out why do they go after so many minority women, you know, minorities and women. So why more women and minorities get targeted? Several researchers have commented on a significantly higher number of women and minority groups in the population targeted individuals. One of the reasons for this could be compliance with U.S. Public Law 103-43, which requires that, one, women and minorities be included in all clinical research studies as appropriate for scientific goals of the work proposed. Two, additionally, the National Institute on Health Policy requires that women and members of minority groups and their subpopulations be included in phase three clinical trials in numbers adequate to allow for valid analysis of sex and gender, racial and or ethnic differences, intervention effects. Three, the National Institute of Health Policy also states that children defined as persons under the age of 21 be included in human subject research supported by the National Institute of Health unless an acceptable justification for their inclusion is provided. Four, the NIH peer review regulations 42 CFR 52H specify that reviewers will take into account in determining overall impact that the project in the application could have on these research fields involved the adequacy of plans to include both genders, minorities, children, and special populations as appropriate for scientific goals of research. Number five, therefore, reviewers must evaluate the proposed plans for inclusion of women, minorities, and children as one of the review criteria that factor into the elevation of scientific and technical merit. Under this lies the point that targeting is about non-consensual human experimentation and the need to get suitable research population. And the gentleman that is ahead of the National Institute on Health is Dr. Francis S. Collins, and he's in Bethesda, Maryland. And another little tidbit I just wanted to add, November 27th, 2013, the president signs a bill that enables the National Institute of Health to release research chimps. So maybe he'll start to let some of the rest of us monkeys go. But that's what's going on in our world today. And another little tidbit, is this thing, I believe people have seen it on TV now, that where you get knocked out. It's a knockout club. You can be walking down the street and pow, you're knocked out. I personally feel, after doing some research, that our government is totally involved in that, because these types of crimes don't spread across the country like that. You know, we're not, TIs are a bit more insightful as to what's going on in this country. So thank you for listening.
All right, and thank you so much, Gloria. I tell you, you know, anything that goes on in this country, I have to believe that if it's spreading like you say it is, and it is, the government is usually behind it. And they trained people that they pay to do stuff like this. This is what a lot of people don't know and don't understand. But, Gloria, I tell you, as you being a TI individual, and people never understand that, you know, that people are being targeted by a government and actually designed to destroy us. But we have to fight back, Gloria. We have to fight back. But listen, I got to move on. I got to bring on my good friend Dorothy. And I tell you, I missed you last week. And, you know, when I don't hear your voice, I get a little shaky myself. So let's keep that voice moving.
I'll keep it moving. But when you get like that, call me.
All right, girl. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Dorothy, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
Great. Thank you. And welcome home, Lynn Stewart.
Absolutely.
Welcome
home. Isn't that a miracle?
Absolutely.
I tell you, you know, it shows what you can do if people work together. We
Absolutely.
Have to learn to work together. I, you know, my whole show is designed to bring people together so we can fight together. And that's how we win, you know.
So let me jump into some of the information I'm going to share.
All right, go right ahead.
Everybody, you should already know when Reverend Preakney's show comes on, you better get out your pencil and your paper, because we're going to be giving you some stuff to watch. This first one is a YouTube video, The Exploding Autoimmune Epidemic. The Exploding Autoimmune Epidemic - Dr. Tent, T-E-N-T. I would recommend everybody watching it. It's a little over 2 hours, but what he does is he gives the history of the virus to cancer epidemic that was allowed to take off, in which 60 minutes... The television show 60 Minutes literally shelved in 1999 their most expensive research project that they'd ever done in the history of the show. They shelved it. It was canceled because it gave the history of the rise of the soft tissue cancers and where it historically came from in our country. And as my friend Gloria just mentioned, she was talking about monkeys. They actually showed that it came from the polio disease, as well as other diseases. Well over 40 different diseases, virus diseases, came from monkeys. They were doing experiments on them, and they were talking about how they virtually put together all this information, and that the scientist went forward, and it was such a big hullabaloo that Richard Nixon, would become the guy who in 1955 had to restructure the National Institute of Health when, again, Bernice Eddy, she was a doctor, she tried to expose the fact that our government was putting out viruses that were going to cause an epidemic in cancers. Now, here are some of the six cancers: lung, breast, prostate, lymphoma, brain, and melanoma. That she said, and she was literally given a gag order, that they had just in 1959 inoculated an entire generation of children, even with the little polio cubes. You know, they gave the little sugar cubes with polio. I remember taking those in Catholic school. But they were going to cause a huge epidemic of cancers, and this was totally shelved by 60 Minutes rather than to let out the truth. You need to watch it, because this doctor is not just telling you the history, he's telling you also how he has been helping people reverse this, the different ways to stop it. So that's an important one. I'm now going to move to a different direction. There's a really good historical film out on YouTube, Orwell, O-R-W-E-L-L, Rolls in His Grave. This talks about the whole 1984 film, but it talks from the perspective of a former 60 Minutes director who left 60 Minutes because of the takeover of our entire TV radio systems with the help of Michael Powell, who was Colin Powell's son, and how the left and the right have virtually colluded together, including Fox TV. And please know I'm not a fan of O'Reilly because Mr. Bill O'Reilly, I was on a show in 2003 and Deborah Norville talking about the rape epidemic in the military. Having escaped the military, actually it's not just rape, it's sexual slavery going on. And O'Reilly shut down even talking about it in 2003. So to me, Mr. Bill O'Reilly is part and parcel to responsibility for the hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens who have unwittingly gone into the military to become victims of rape, abuse, and anything like that. He has an accountability to that issue. Speaking of that, let's move on to here's another one, Exposing the Satanic Web. Exposing the Satanic Web. This is by Dave, and I'll spell his last name, R-O-E-V-E-R. R-O-E-V-E-R, Exposing the Satanic Web. Please know this is a little bit graphic, but this is a dated film, probably 1970s, 80s, in which he's talking about satanic ritual abuse, human sacrifice, and he names the United States military in being involved. Now, this is what's interesting, is that this information was out there, but no one wants to talk about what I experienced in my own military career, in which for over 20 years I was tortured at the hands of the VA, and people in my life were intentionally murdered, and I was told to shut my mouth about it as they tried to set me up for his death, my former partner's death. Again, I'm going to give you a couple more informational videos to watch. It's Buzzsaw, B-U-Z-Z-S-A-W, colon, and then Satanism in the Army and Zombies in San Francisco. Satanism in the Army and Zombies in San Francisco with Douglas Dietrich. There's approximately two or three different videos to watch on this, but some of the most amazing things that go along with it is he talks about the satanic ritual torture and abuse that was happening, how it was protected under Title VII, which is their religious practices, which I have been speaking of, as well as the fact that Michael Aquino, who is the head of the Satanist community inside the military, wrote all of the chaplains' manuals for the entire military system, and it was based on satanic rituals, and that any time they were going to do a high Satanist ritual on any basis, that they had to get out of the way. And again, I was a victim of this kind of abuse. And he goes on to talk on the Super Soldier program. The Super Soldier program is actually based from the study of the Hitler-Himmler-Eichmann study. And the importance of this study is that what it did is by raping children under the age of five, they could, raping, physically abusing, and psychologically abusing, severely abusing, that they could create any type of personality they wanted. They could make sexual slaves, entertainers, and I'm not saying that one is less than the other. They could actually create all of this within the same type of personality, one person. So sexual slave, entertainer, assassin, spy, suicide bomber, political member. He goes on to talk about how these victims were used then to compromise our political leadership, generals, politicians. which is why virtually we have had a takeover of our government. And again, I not only witnessed this in the military, but I was subjected to this. Now, I have a law enforcement background, a degree, and sad to say that this happened to me from my 18 months old on up, in which I was selected, abused, and manipulated against my will into the military. And I know that that's very difficult for a lot of people to believe, but these people can virtually do anything they want. And they killed four people to drive me into the military. Again, please watch these videos. It is about learning what is going on, because it's not just inside the military. It's the sexualization of our children. It's causing the violations and the abuse. In 1985, through President Reagan, he actually implemented and allowed for the evangelical community, much like the Catholic community, to go ahead and begin assaulting their children to be used this way. And through the U.S. Congress, 57 questions were begun to be trained across the country to allow for the abuse as well as the sexual abuse of children in this country. Again, I've got the documentation. My name is Dorothy Mackey, and I was a United States Air Force captain and commander, which meant I had legal authority to hold these people accountable for every violation of law. Yet it was a lawless system and still remains it, because when our Congress will not hold people accountable for the immoral and brutality that's going on, and yet you have a hero like Lynn Stewart that is standing up to protect good and decent people, we are at a war. We are in a war, and it is time for us to begin educating everyone to stand up together in peace, in harmony, and for each other. Thank you very much for listening.
And thank you so much, Dorothy. Listen, I want you to have a happy New Year's, and you take care of yourself, you hear? All right, now. Time for my good friend. Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm blessed, and God answers prayer. Praise the Lord. Lynn is home. We're praying now for her healing and that she's healed from the cancer. And I just thank the Lord that she is home now. And justice for all. This means united. All of us united can make a difference in this country, in our schools, in our governments, in our lives. And what's going on in this country has to stop. The dumbing down of our children, the safety issues for each one of us, and the government taking over our lives. So we must stand up. And I know that you're excited. I guess the e-ride is going to be off the road from now on.
Oh,
with
absolutely.
With
I hear you.
Right, thank God I'm not in New York. But how exciting, and what beautiful grandchildren. I saw the video on the internet, just beautiful grandchildren and a family. So I know how happy they all are. So we just praise the Lord. Let me talk about Los Angeles Unified School District. They get the money from the state, from the taxpayers' money. So this is our money across the country that is paying for the schools. And yet, when they get the money and it is allotted for certain things, the school district, LAUSD, I'll take that because it's documented. I have the documentation. They move the money around from fund to fund for their own sweet deals. They have enough money allotted to them to take care of injured teachers, which they refuse to do. Dawn Watkins moved around $105 million. And if she did that, she must have moved around other money and put it in other funds, which denies injured teachers such as myself. If there's a 30 to 45 day turnaround time for mileage and parking, the LAUSD took 4 years to pay me. I don't go to the right doctors. We have the lawyers that LAUSD hires that are bought off, and they'll say whatever. We have Dr. John Stahlberg from Santa Monica that was paid $16,700 for a bogus, unsubstantiated medical report for my case, and we have Judge Gerald Cohn writing a medical diagnosis, not a doctor, and changing all the facts. There was at one time about over 40,000 teachers at LAUSD paying dues in the for United Teachers, UTLA. It is down to about 25,000. They pay about $62 a month in dues, and all this is going on. There's less teachers all the time. They think if they don't stand up, everything will be fine. No, if you're an older teacher, they want to go after you because you make more money, and if you're there for 20 years, you'll get lifetime medical. So they definitely want to find something against you, some trumped-up charge, and they put you in teacher jails, which is being alone in a room. They have no evidence for it. They've admitted that. They deny the teachers their rights, their judicial rights for years, as the teacher sits alone. We must unite. They have to get a backbone and do something. All of a sudden, it's election time, and Warren Fletcher started to join them in the protests against teacher jails. Must be election time. All this money that they just move around, everything is about the money. The children are getting it. They're just dumbing down the children. They blame the teachers for everything. And when you listen to TV, it's always the teachers. It's never the superintendent, DZ, or the Board of Education squandering all this money, which no one ever speaks up about. They're just mad about it. They speak up, but they don't act. It's 2014. It is time to speak up, become more vocal, more visual, and become victorious already and stop this before we lose everything. My health is deteriorating. I'm losing everything because they cannot do the right thing in my case. Is this why I have a master's degree, a clear teaching credential, put myself through college? So when I got hurt, they left me there without calling the paramedics, without cleaning the room up, calling hazmat. They did the same thing to Charles Smith, who was at another school, who was sprayed in his face with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. Charles died. And when I announced it on the sub-email and sent it out, I had several teachers that said, well, he was older, of course he died, and he smoked or whatever. No one ever said. They didn't say, oh, that's terrible. They didn't call the paramedics. They took the side of the school. It's like they brainwashed them. If it hasn't happened to you, you don't know about it. But they're coming to a town near you, and you better wake up before you as a teacher are going to lose everything after all these years and be put down. I know somebody that was driving on the streets outside of school, and a parent, I guess, cut him off. He said something. He didn't realize it was a parent of one of his students. She called the school. Next thing you know, for about 7 days, he loses pay and he's in the teacher jail. Hasn't the school gone too far? Does anybody speak up? Does anybody do anything? No. But they better start speaking up or we have nothing, Reverend Pinkney.
You are absolutely correct. But you know one thing? I'm planning on coming out there pretty soon, so we're trying to work some things out with David Garcia.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to come out there and support him and see can we do something more, a little bit more constructive and get things moving. But listen, I got to move on. I got to end the show with my good friend Larry Pinkney and Ralph and Lynn. So you just hang on and listen. I'm sorry I didn't bring Mary on, but Mary, I'm going to let you join this conversation. And we're just going to say good night to everybody. And I just want to thank everybody for a wonderful, wonderful show today. And it would not be possible without you. No matter how hard we try, it would not be possible. But Mary, go right ahead. Say a few words for us and before we end the show, because I'm sorry we didn't have enough time for you today. But we love you anyway. Mary, are you there?
Yes.
I am here, Reverend Pinkney, and I only have a few words.
Welcome home, Lynn Stewart. Lynn Stewart, welcome home, my dear. I don't know you personally. I didn't even know about your work before I met Reverend Pinckney, but I have learned about your work. I've written so many articles about you, and it is my pleasure, Lynn Stewart, to say welcome home. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Everybody, please send Reverend Pinckney a generous donation so he can continue to spread freedom and liberty and justice in the word of truth, which is the work of God. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
You're welcome. My brother, Larry Pinckney. Ralph, are you still there?
Yes, I am. And Lynn
yes, I am.
Yes, I am. And Lynn is going to say thank you.
And I'm going to get my granddaughter to say it, too. She's going to say thank you. I'm here with my granddaughter. She's building some kind of rubber band thing in my hand. And we're going to say thank you together. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And we want to thank you and thank you and thank you. And I want to thank my good friend Larry. I want to thank my good friend Ralph and Lynn.
Thank you,
I want
brother.
You to know that we love you. And I want to say thanks for my wife, Dorothy. And she's definitely looking forward to meeting you also. But on that note, unfortunately, everybody, we have just ran out of time.
Good night.
Good night, brother. Stay strong.
Take care, Lynn, and good night, all. We're going to listen to a little bit of everybody.